Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. This Tuesday on the conversation, hard to believe that October 1st, Juice, aka OJ Simpson, could actually be on parole and released. So you mean to tell me that Obama didn't pardon him? I'm gonna have to call Obama and find out what's going on. The New York Times also reports that the FBI Director James Carney has asked the DOJ to reject Trump's wiretapping claims, even though if you read a New York Times article, they talk about how they were wiretapping Trump's aides. I didn't know Trump had aides. Yeah, we can joke about it because it's been 20-some years. Also on the conversation, folks, we're going to talk about how Mexico has set aside $50 million to have, like, to help undocumented immigrants. They're going to spend money, $50 million, to help undocumented immigrants, but they're not going to use it to help their own country? Also, the DPRK is firing off more banned ballistic missiles. Is this just real threats, or is it basically, hey, they're a country that's starting to be divided and they're trying to reunite them? I'll get into that. Jordan has executed 10 men convicted of a series of bombings and shootings and attacks since 2013. That's right, folks. That's of a British tourist for one of them. Holy cow. You mean they can actually kill the bad guys? And not just house them and feed them and then send them back into the battlefield once they're healthy to kill more people? Maybe we should learn from Jordan. Also, there's talk at the airports of having the Toilet Safety Administration have more intimate contact when they screen passengers. So basically, you're going to get fondled more, but they're still not going to find anybody. So good luck on that one. If you're going to have a colonoscopy about 2 days before, hey, maybe they can help you out. That much, much more, folks. So welcome to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of. 2 Thessalonians 3-5. Or basically 5. May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. Think about that as you're going through your day to day, and welcome to the program that I hope you kind of feel a part of. What a program we have for you today, folks. Hard to believe that Juice in October could be released. And I guess he's going to get a sizable chunk of money from he's got like a pension coming from the NFL. And since it's $3 million, and since it's, well, for him, he'll lose that in 5 minutes. Well, it depends. I wonder how many license plates he was able to make, so we'll see. But anywho, they can't, no one can touch it because it's his pension, and, you know, Goldman's can't come after it and all this. And I still remember that night when we're like, man, if we turn this TV off, something big is going to happen. And we kept watching it and kept watching it. Now you find out years and years later that supposedly he was listening to a basketball game and wanted to hear the end of the game. That's why they went really slow. I guess if they were that into catching him, why didn't they just get in front of him and put out spike strips? He's OJ Simpson. He has to get special treatment. He has to get that sportsman privilege. Wow. I don't understand. I can't believe that Obama didn't pardon him. Well, the FBI director, James Comey has asked the DOJ to reject Trump's wiretapping claims. Not that they're going to, but he's asked them to. You know, and what's funny is if claims that Trump was wiretapped, that's not happening. But if Obama was to have been wiretapped or claims that, World War III would have happened in this country. Even though the New York Times, in one of their own pages, on the front page of their newspaper, says that Trump's wiretapping claims are pretty much valid because they were wiretapping Trump for data used in inquiring. They were inquiring data about Trump's aides. They were wiretapping them. The New York Times reported this. That they said, hey, they were trying to get some information and data off of his aides, and they were wiretapping him. But, you know, it didn't happen. I mean, the left is starting to sound like Barbary. Move along now, nothing to see here. I mean, seriously. They say one thing, and they do something else. Well, we reported about the wiretapping, but it didn't happen. I mean, we just, whatever, you know. Yeah. Oh, we wrote that? Oops, that was a typo. The whole article was a typo? I don't think so. It's the liberal double standard. There are all these people protesting in Washington, D.C., you know, like, he will not divide me. Really? So, this country was divided by Trump? Gee. I thought there was the Black Lives Matter movement when Trump took office. No, it wasn't when he took office. They were there way before. This country was divided a long time ago. You talk to some of those black pastors who lived through the Civil Rights era. They say that this country is more divided now than it's ever been. It's amazing when you talk to actual truthers, people that lived when Martin Luther King was around during the Civil Rights era, and you talk to people from Germany that were alive when Hitler came into power. Trump is nothing like Hitler. I don't know where they're coming up with this. I grew up when Hitler was coming into power. I grew up when Martin Luther King was leading the Civil Rights March. We are more divided now than we were then. The only difference is we don't have separate bathrooms. We don't have, this is a white college. A black person can't go here. That's the only difference. Oh, but, you know, like I put on my Facebook page, you know, Trump is responsible for World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, the second coming on the grassy knoll, Kennedy's death, the faked moon landing, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, you know, the Challenger explosion. Yeah, that was Trump's fault. Yep. You know, that Boston bombing. Yeah, that was Trump's fault. Twin Towers. That was Trump's fault. Sorry, Bush. You lose that one. It's Trump's fault now. Let me see what else. Anything else you can think of? Yeah, it's, you know, the high gas price for a while. That was Trump's fault. The Exxon Valdez, yeah, that was Trump's fault. Yep, don't want to forget that one. Nicole Brown Simpson, that death, that was Trump's fault. Yeah, really, O.J. Simpson really had nothing to do with it. It was actually Trump that did it, you know. Chris Farley's death, that was Trump. Want to get all that, you know, since you're going to start blaming him for everything anyways. Because that's the problem with this country. We're divided, yes, but you have half the country that's idiotical morons that don't know anything. That just go along with whatever the narrative is. I don't know anything, but whatever. I hate Trump. He sucks. No matter what, I don't care. I make no sense. You're going to tell me something, I'm going to agree with you, but it's going to contradict what I'm protesting, but who cares? Like when you take those tests in school or in college I'm like, okay, well, you answered B on this one. How can you answer B on question two and C on question three? They contradict each other. C can't be the right answer for question three if two is the correct answer, if B is the correct answer for two. It doesn't make sense. You know? They it's funny when they get like Waters World out there and he has these people that are protesting and he'll convince them, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. Well, then you're going against what you're protesting. That's the problem. Trump isn't banning anyone. He's just saying, okay, I don't mind having these refugees in here, people in here. How can we ensure that every single person that comes in here is safe? You can't tell me that they're going to be safe. You can't guarantee me. No one can guarantee me that every single refugee that comes in here is going to be 110% a legitimate refugee. And if they really want to come here, they can just border jump. I mean, that's what's wrong with this country. You try to enter the country legally, and they're asking you tough questions like, where have you been? How long were you gone? What are you bringing with you? What do you, you know, do you got any fresh produce? You can't, I mean, what do you have? They want to go through your stuff. Meanwhile, you got Mexicans crossing the border with tables and chairs and mattresses. Well, I think we should make sure that, you know, that some of these people are not all bad, you know, because, I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some, a lot of good people coming over. There's probably going to be a couple bad people, and I don't want them in my country. Well, you just agreed to saying that you support vetting, but you're here arguing against it. He's not banning anything. It's just like a couple months to try to find a way to have better procedures. It's just like you're not going to have a high school party when your parents are going to just open the door and let anyone you want come in. Have squirrels, monkeys, mice, bats, whoever, homeless, you know, no, you're going to say, yeah, you're going to hand out invitations. This is who I want. If you get an invitation, you can come, no one else. You're going to keep certain people in, certain people out, just like going to Wrigley Field or going to Soldier's Field or going to Lucas Oil Stadium. You're going to get patted down to make sure you're not carrying something that's contraband. Because it's amazing when you go to some outdoor venues and concerts, what they won't allow. Well, that little like water bottle with the fan on it to mist you can't have that because you could put a chemical in there. Really? I'm going to see String Cheese Incident. I'm going to go in there and party down and have a great time. I'm not. The last thing I'm thinking about is putting a chemical in here and spraying it around and killing people. But hey. The DPRK, for fans, if you're new to the conversation, in North Korea, the people call their country the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. That's why I call it the DPRK. They are actually firing off more banned ballistic missiles than ever. And some people are afraid by it. Some of the actual people that are out there, and I'm one of these people that I look at both ways. Because a lot of the people in North Korea, if you don't know, there's a lot of smuggling going on now where there are people that have been bringing in little microchips that they hook into their computer and they're able to see the news in South Korea. They're able to see TV shows in South Korea and they're starting to see, wait a minute here, Kim Il-sung, our dear leader, I always thought we had it great. Melissa, I thought we had it great here in North Korea. And then they're starting to find out that compared to South Korea, they're getting screwed. And they're starting to say, wait a minute here. And they're starting to have people question how great they have it. Because there was somebody that was, I guess somebody from South Korea came over. And when they came over, this person came up to him and he goes, you're not like a leader? You're not like a head of state? How do you have a car? Well, I'm just a regular Joe. Anyone can own it. If you got money, you can own a car in South Korea. And it's starting to get to the point where I think he's like, oh, America's going to get us. America's going to get us. South Korea. Hey, South Korea is being controlled by the United States. And there's a lot of people that believe that what they're doing is they're doing these missile tests to try to unite their country. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, I don't like what's happening, because all it takes is one accidental hit of the button and one's coming our way. I mean, he could be doing that to divide a nation, but just because I got to, you know, always shoot a gun like it's loaded. You know, like when I used to go, when I've gone to ranges and stuff, what they have like a point where, okay, like from this point on, a gun is always 100% loaded no matter what. You consider it loaded even if you're field stripping it. Treat it like it's loaded. If you're behind this line, if you're from they're like a firing line, if you're from this line or if you pass this mark into the firing area, we're assuming 100% you have a gun that the safety is off and it's ready to fire and you do not interrupt anyone. Unless you notice something majorly wrong. Okay, yeah, well, I don't think you noticed it, but the hole where the bullet comes out's been plugged. You know, something majorly, you know, you don't let them fire, you know. So you don't scare them and they pull the gun up in the air and, you know, but most people, but just, I mean, there's rules. And that's kind of how that is, you know, and it's just like that's how I'm brought up. Okay, when you're behind, you know, like there's set things going on, and is North Korea basically one time gonna, now this is just a test thing, and then it actually works, and they fire it at us? You know, you never know. But I do think a lot of it is, I think they're trying to divide a nation that's starting to see more and more how good they have it. No, they don't. They don't at all. That's why there's like places opening up where they can get a beer every once in a while. They're trying to give them their people more. But still a lot of the North Korean people in the DPRK are like, you know, thank you, Kim, you know, thank you, dear leader, for everything. So it's just something to look out for. I want to kind of get into this because this is kind of exciting, because I've been reading different things about it. Any of you British fans or anybody out there, it wasn't that big in the United States, but it's been 20 years since the release of Trainspotting, and that movie is great. It's a very hard, it's a sort of like, I look at it like a documentary / movie, because it showcases five people in Scotland, Ireland, Britain that are dealing with heroin addiction, and it's a true to life story basically, but it's not really like it's not true, but it's just like the way they present it is so real. And in the very beginning of the movie, if you don't know, they have like a 5-on-5 football match, and the team that they're playing in the beginning of the movie, that Spuds and Renton and all them sick boy are playing, they are a group of people that belong to a organization of recovered addicts that try to help others. And they gleaned on them tenfold for information of how did, you know, what was it like being on it, and how did you get off it, and all this stuff. And it's hard to watch. I mean, it's not like a pretty movie, because they try to be true to life about the problems of being on heroin and trying to get off and all this stuff. And when you find out in part one that when they go to the worst bathroom in Scotland, and you find out that all the stuff on the walls and all the stuff in the toilet is just chocolate, because I didn't realize that, but if there's any type of like feces anywhere in a movie, 9 times out of 10, it's chocolate. I didn't know that, but I'm not in movies, but it was just, so now it just makes that whole scene different. And, but I guess what I found out after looking at like many, many websites is March 31st in the US, it's going to be released part two. And from what I've heard about the reviews, is it's kind of neat to see what's happened to the guys, because everyone from the original movie is in this one. 20 years later, where they've been, what they've done. But it's, I mean, that's about it. I've heard, it gets a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes, but like, just kind of neat to see what's happened to them all these years later. But it's, other than that, it's not that great. But I've never really seen a part two of any movie where I've gone, yeah, part one was good. Because like Goal, the movie with Santiago Muñoz, where it was the Mexican that came up and he goes to England, ends up playing soccer just on this guy's whim, you know. If you ever make it to Mexico, I'll give you a shot. And the guy comes out and comes all the way there. And part one was great because it was a neat concept. But then part two is just like, there was supposed to be a part three. I don't know if they'll ever do it. But part two is he goes off to Real Madrid and plays for them. And then the wife always complains because he's not in Real because he can't come home to England and all this stuff. And it just gets to be too, you know, like, okay. Like part one was neat because it was this nobody that ends up making it in English football. But then the part two is so bad. Because it's like, okay. And then it's like all this like stuff that was going great. Then it just all falls apart. And so it's just, but we'll have to see. It's just kind of neat to see what they've been up to, you know, like what they said has happened to them in the movie. But other than that, I've heard the movie's not that great, so I'm not holding my hopes. But speak of the devil. This is, you know, this is what really gets me. I want to move on. Now, $50 million Mexico is setting aside. And guess what? Are they going to help their country, their people? No. They have like 50 Mexican consulates throughout the U.S., that are launching legal assistance centers to help undocumented immigrants here in America. They're using this money to help illegal undocumented people that cross the border to help them out. They're not sitting there saying, let's make Mexico better. Let's help Mexico out. Let's make Mexico great. Let's do stuff to better Mexico. It's like, well, how can we help these people get out of here? I mean, seriously? I don't understand. I can't comprehend that. What's wrong with illegal immigrants, man? They haven't done anything wrong.
Okay.
Well, first of all, they're illegal, so they've broken the law to begin with. And unless you're going to say that the government is going to give them money to live on and free housing and stuff, how are they going to work? They have to have a social security and driver's license and all this stuff. Unless you're going to come up with some sort of plan that, okay, you go to this center and they give you a temporary social security card where they pay taxes and everything. But then, I don't get it, because almost all of them that I've met, that I've known, where does 70% of their money go? Right down to Mexico to help their family. They don't stay here to help this community, this area. I've known so many illegals that we find out, I'm looking for this guy. Well, he's my dishwasher. He's my this. He's that. No, I'm him. He's using my name, social security number, everything. Because they used to use, like, they used to find social security numbers and try to get the youngest ones they could. Therefore, by the time, because there were a couple people that came when they were 18, it was, yeah, cool, I'm 18, I'm going to college, I'm going to get me a car. Not a great one, but just a used car. Why are you applying for credit? You have bankruptcy. What do you mean bankruptcy? I'm 18. Well, it's because somebody that was using his social security number when he was 10 years old had issues, filed bankruptcy or whatever. And that's how they're finding, that's why now they're getting either unissued numbers or dead people. That way they don't have that problem. But it says, that speaks volumes, that they're going to spend that kind of money to help the people coming across the border. I don't get it. If anyone can explain it to me, I'd sure love to know how that makes sense. I don't know what I would do if, like, the United States said, yeah, we're going to set up assistance centers in Canada in case you want to go over there and hang out with the guys and the buddies, you know? And if you need, and we're going to give you a bonus if you make it or make it early enough to get there for Canadian hockey night. Hockey night in Canada. If you can get there in time for that, we'll give you a 20% bonus. Just go to any one of our 200 assistance centers in Canada. I'd be like, really? You're going to give, what the heck? Why don't you want us in our own country? I don't know. Call me crazy, but that doesn't make sense to me. Maybe I could ask a liberal. Maybe they would understand because they seem to make sense. Listen, Jordan has executed 10 men in a series of bombings and shooting attacks since 2003 that killed a British tourist, and among others. Wait a minute here. Yes, I did say that. They're like very bad people. They're terrorists. They're shootings. They're bombing people. And Jordan has executed 10 of them. Thank you, Jordan, because I mean, we just house them and feed them and then let them go, and then they go right back into the battlefield. Oh, no, we're going to let them go, and then we're going to, like, track them. Okay. Okay, where is this guy? Well, I thought you were watching him. I thought you were watching him. No, I wasn't watching him. I thought you were. What do you... Crap, Captain, we lost him. Oh, Lord. He just ran off. Yes, you can actually take and kill the bad ones. It's a miracle. But in the United States, we can't kill a terrorist. We can't kill a bomber. We can't even waterboard. That is inhumane. Okay, he just took and chopped off 20 Christian heads, but we can't waterboard. That makes a lot of sense. That's liberal logic right there. Screw waterboarding, okay? You got about 5 seconds to tell us anything. Okay, next. And okay, so what? You end up with 10 dead terrorists. I'm not divided. He's not going to divide us. Trump's not going to divide me. Yeah, hon, I think this nation was divided a lot long before Trump got here. I'm just so fed up with these. And I mean, in a way, I think it's showing their face. There were people that were just showing solidarity, saying, yes, we're just going to be here peacefully supporting Trump. And they get beaten. There's pictures of people that were beaten. I mean, they're broken noses, black and blue, blood everywhere. And they're being... I'm like, great. It's showing the true face of the Liberal Party. Say, go ahead. You want to hit me? Go ahead. And they're showing their cards. They're showing how bad they are. And people are seeing them for who they are. As a liberal, you should be outraged at someone that's doing that. But who cares, you know what I mean? Oh yeah, I forgot to mention this, and I apologize in advance, but Trump is also responsible for Barbara Streisand gaining weight. I really apologize. Yes, on behalf of Trump, and I really do apologize, folks. I wanna be clear on this conversation. If I missay something or misrepresent, I will clarify when I'm wrong, and I was wrong. You know, she is gaining weight, and Trump's the reason. I mean, God forbid she can't take responsibility for her own actions. That's what's wrong. No one can take responsibility for their own actions. It's not Washington's, because there are people, and I've said this before, that were complaining. Well, you know, the people that are high behind the wheel that are getting in accidents in Washington State, it's skyrocketing. No, that's called taking responsibility. I can do cocaine, heroin, crystal meth, PCP, whatever. I can drink 50 beers, but I got to have the personal responsibility saying, I'm not going to drive. Well, I shouldn't be drinking 50 beers, but okay, I can have 3 glasses of wine at the night, but I should be saying, okay, Melissa, you need to drive home. I should have some personal responsibility. She can't take responsibility for her own actions. She's just as bad as these college kids. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't go to college now because I can't think because Trump's president. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do now. What you're going to do is you're going to go to that gun shop. You're going to buy a gun, turn it towards yourself, and pull the trigger. That'll be saving this country a whole lot of problems. Like my one friend said, he goes, I had a family, was working 50 to 60 hours a week. I was going to college full time. If I can do it, anyone can do it. Nope. I think they're just all PO'd because Hillary Clinton was supposed to give them free college and everything, so they wouldn't have to pay for anything. Talk to Michael Daugherty about what he thought if Bernie Sanders or Hillary got in about the free college. He'll give you a word or two. You know, he will, because I earned it. That's the problem. If you pay for it, you take care of it. You do. I guess they can't do this now, but for years when I worked in the restaurant business, that's what they did. Okay, here's the thing. When you are hired, you're told, okay, plate's $5. You break a plate. It may cost them $6, $7, but you pay $5 for every plate you break. You pay for anything you break. I guess now you can't do that. But back in the day, that was like, that's what you did, you know? And the only times you really wouldn't have that is if, like, because one time a guy picked up a whole box of glasses, and I guess the one end wasn't taped at all from the manufacturer, and bang, and they all broke, and the manufacturer got them. The guy's like, no, it's my fault. I want to pay. No, I said, and the chef's like, it's not your fault. This box was not taped. If they would have opened, if they would have done what you did on the way here, or in the warehouse, it would have broke. You know, we're getting a new case. So, and we got a whole new, they were not cheap glasses either, like $20 flute, champagne flute. But, anywho, when you pay for, my point is, if you pay for it, you take care of it. Like that guitar I made a Epiphone Les Paul, basically. I take care of that thing because it's mine. But it's kind of fun because I can mess around because I'm trying to lower the action. I'm getting it. I think I've got it pretty much perfect. But it's fun to experiment. I take care of my drums and stuff that I have because it's mine. You're not going to take care of an education if it's just given to you. And guess what? Because if I flunk, oh well, I ain't paying for it. When I was in culinary school, I'm like, you know how much this is costing me? Okay. I'm going to have some fun, but I'm going to study my butt off. Because, like, when I went to school at NECI, New England Culinary Institute, you have, like, okay, 90% of the classes are, every class is 80% or better. Some classes you have to get an 85% to pass or 90%, like meat fab, it's 100%. So when you take that final, it's 100% or you don't pass. And like they say, and this is so true, get 100% on that exam. 10 years, you'll lose 10% of your knowledge. And especially if you don't do it all the time, because I've got books galore. I've got like sausage books. I got a whole book that has recipes to make. Like if I wanted, if I had the energy and I could, and the stamina, I could open up a bakery or like a charcuterie place, like a sausage place, whatever. I had the recipes, you know, of how to do all this stuff. But, you know, and I always thought I might want to do a bakery, but, you know, with my muscle issue, it's kind of, but then with my celiac, it's even more. So, you know, I just take what God gives me and whatever he has planned for me, you know. I mean, if I get out of the kitchen and I do something else, whatever God has in store for me, I'll take it and I'm grateful. That's what people aren't grateful anymore. You know, there are some decent. If you want to be able to learn how to use a brake press or weld and do stuff like that, there's some decent jobs out there. You can be an electrician, and there are some companies that make you can make like 17, 18, 20 bucks in some places as an electrician. It's skilled labor. You got to know what you, I mean, you got to, sometimes you're going to have to get up in a bucket truck and you're going to have to go up 20 feet and you're going to have to work when it's hot, cold, whatever. If it's 90 degrees, you might be outside. If it's 35 degrees, you might be outside. Just like everyone thinks, oh, the post office is an easy job. Well, in the winter when it's like 10 degrees outside, you're not putting up that window and putting it down and putting up that window and putting it down. You're going to leave that window down because you're going from mailbox to mailbox to mailbox. People just think, I'm going to college, and when I get out, I'm going to be sitting in some cush million-dollar office. Everyone starts somewhere. You know, we need to have, like I was talking about, it's kind of like a continuation of what I was saying last week. Like Mike Rowe said, you got to make work fun. I do know, like, if like with cooking, heck, 90% of it's book work. Here's your logs. You got to fill them out because a lot of places now, okay, you need to put a bucket of all the scraps. This is all your scraps. You got to weigh it and total it. Okay, at the end of the night, you have to weigh all your scrap foods. You know, so it's not the most funnest part of the job, but it's something that a lot of places are having you do now. So this is even more fun. Get prepared, folks, because if you go to the airport, the Toilet Safety Administration, they're going to be fondling you more than ever and more intense fondling. I don't know if it's going to be sensual or more like manly, whatever, but they haven't caught anyone yet. What is it, like 58 billion to zero? And I mean, they may have caught maybe like somebody that had a warrant that didn't realize it. That like, you know, that maybe, you know, no one really bad. Just like, yeah, you have like a, like, who knows, like you had like 20 unpaid tickets and you were supposed to go to court over this and you never did and whatever. Whatever the case may be. But the Toilet Safety Administration, the TSA, really hasn't caught anyone. They can't sit there and say, hey, look at, we got this guy. Yep, we got James Mason. He is wanted in Dubuque, Iowa for unpaid parking tickets. Yeah, three of them. Yep. One of them is $25. I mean, seriously, they really haven't gotten anybody. But your tax dollars are paying these people. That's the problem. How are you expected to feel safe on a plane when you haven't? Well, sir, we're here to protect you, to make sure that you're safe getting on this plane with him. Why haven't you caught anybody? I would have thought you would have at least come out and say, yeah, we've gotten somebody. Nope. Nope, not one. But that's your, I mean, I forget where it was. Carlos Mencius talked about this, where there was a guy that mailed himself air freight, and he was on an actual passenger plane in a package underneath the plane. And it wasn't until when they delivered him, he kind of got out too early, thinking the guy had already left, and that's how he got caught. And what did it showcase? That someone was able to get that everything that goes under the plane is not checked. And I know how everything under the plane has not been checked or never was, because that's how a lot of people used to get Cuban cigars. They used to order them online, and they would ship them in a way so that they would just go on a plane. They might get them out of France. The company might be, and they would get them from Cuba. They'd go to France, and then they would go on like a commercial plane to here. Because like when 9/11 happened, and they stopped all stuff on all carriers, all like commercial airliners, they had, I forget how many, like millions of Cuban cigars at O'Hare Airport. Because they were never checking for anything in the first place until 9/11 happened. And then there's even been proof that they aren't checking every single thing that comes through. Wow. Well, it looks like actually, if I read an article where they believe it, that Trump's administration is only going to go after like legal cannabis. So like if you have a state that has medical cannabis, they don't care about the medical side. Whether it's true or not, it looks like he's only going after if they go after it at all, the legal, you know, like the recreational, not the medical. Because I know like Illinois has basically said, you know, we will fight with our police and our state police anyone that tries to go after like the medical marijuana, because we want to see. They want to see how this, you know, we're trying to do a real trial of this to see if it's going to work. So I don't know. I do know that like Washington State and some of them like Colorado said, bring it on. We will fight it. We as a state have said, hey, we want this legal. If you don't want it legal, okay. And what I found, because me and Melissa have been to Colorado, if you smoke it, you smoke it. If you don't, you don't. It's not like there's not many people I saw that's like, I can't believe that crap's legal. Like, they understand that if you're going to smoke it and you're not going to hurt me, you're not going to offend me, you're not going to bother me, I'm cool with it. Because, like, I actually thought of this. Remember that picture they had with this Girl Scout goes out in front of a pot shop and sells all these Girl Scout cookies. Well, the whole thing that people don't take into account is in Colorado, you can't go to a pot shop and smoke. You can't eat edibles. You have to be at home. You can't smoke out in public. It's illegal. So if they're buying Girl Scout cookies, it has nothing. It's not like they're going in there, lighting up and getting high, and then, okay, I got the munchies, let's buy cookies, because they can't do that. So, it's called laws. It's called, personal responsibility. And that's what these states are saying. Hey, we as a city voted on this. It's not like someone just said, we're going to executive order this legal. No, we took it to a vote, and the voters say overwhelmingly, we want this legal. We want to get it out of the hands of cartels and gangs. And we want it regulated, and they're making crap loads in tax money that they're giving it. They're having to give some back. Okay, you're going to get a bonus in Colorado. We're going to give you some of the taxes back because we're making so much money. We're going to give you some money back. We're going to help this school. We're going to do stuff. It's just one of these things that, like I've told a couple, like a lot of my friends know this, but like I tell people, okay, I don't blow smoke up everyone's butt. Okay, if I like something that Trump does, you're gonna know about it. If I don't like something he does, you're gonna know about it. I'm not blind. I'm not deaf, dumb, and blind. I'm not sitting there. Yes, I like Trump. He's the greatest. Holy hallelujah. He can do no wrong. I'm not one of these mindless morons that Trump sucks. He's the worst president. He's divided this nation. He's done. Okay. No, the nation was divided. Obama did a big chunk of that. Why can't you open up your eyes and think for yourself? I have a sticker on my old toolbox from Necky that said, dare to think for yourself. Okay, if you think cannabis is so bad, do your research, look it up. If you think you're right about Trump dividing this nation, look it up and show and find out where this nation was never divided before. Show me where Black Lives Matter just happened now. Show me where this nation is not divided. You know, backup statements with facts. If you got $2, how are you going to pay for something that costs $6? You can't. You need $4 more. But that's all these liberals are saying. I can afford something that costs $6, but I only got $2. They don't make sense. They need to wake up. They need to think for themselves instead of just following this mindless people. I'm just chanting and cheering and saying what they're saying. I have no idea, but whatever. You know, I would have no problem if you interviewed these liberals and out of, let's say, 100 liberals, 98 said, yeah, I'll house a refugee. I'll take them in. Okay, then you're putting your money where your mouth is. But when most of them won't, oh, I'm married to a Trump supporter. I don't know if I'll just use my wife in this example. She's not this way, but if my wife was like a Hillary supporter, I don't know if I could be with someone like that. Period. I mean, not just like in general. If we were that politically different, I don't know. If I could. That's just me. But I don't know if, I mean, I can't. They never vouched whether she is actually, if they tried to find out who she is and if she's really, you know, with or married a Trump supporter or, you know, who knows? Or if she just said that so she didn't have to house a refugee or what, but. It's just one of these things, you know. Think for yourself, folks. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. Believe what you see and you know in your heart. I mean, if you think Trump is evil, okay, why do you think he's bad? I mean, a Russian ambassador went to the White House under Obama 22 times. You know, we should have communications with Russia. We should be talking to them. But remember, it was Obama. Oops, this was a hot mic. Well, as soon as I get reelected, you know, I'll have more freedom. Oh, liberals don't want to talk about that one. God forbid we actually have communications, you know. How do you think we got to where we were with Russia when Reagan basically sat down with Gorbachev and said, let me start again. Hi, my name's Ronnie. Ronald Reagan. We even communicate with North Korea. Usually it's via South Korea and nobody doesn't go anywhere, but Wow. I just don't get it, man. Maybe I'm not supposed to get it. I don't know. You know, it's just one of these things that you deal with, that you have, that just, I don't know. I guess I'm a problem solver, and when I can't solve a problem, you know, I'm a problem solver. And when I can't solve a problem, I'm like, okay, and that's. It's one of those things, you know, and I don't. I just wish. I look at it like this. If liberals made sense, then it would have something to, you know, I could say, okay, yeah, they are making sense. You know, 2 + 2 is equaling 4. But they don't. And that's what frustrates me, and I guess it shouldn't frustrate me. You know, there was a psycho hose beast that was out trying to interrupt the Trump rally. Yeah, she's whining and whatever, carrying on. And they, what do they start chanting? They don't start chanting Trump. They start chanting USA. What is that thing? I saw this post, and it had, like, before I get into the sports, it had, like, all these different things, and like, we're called deplorables, we're called this, we're called that, but you know what Trump calls us? Americans. Got about 6 minutes left in the program, folks, and what a race in Atlanta. I think what gets me is I think with this new format that they have, where they're having, like, the stages and all this, it scares me, but I think they're going to tweak it as they go. And if they think that they should have more than 5 minutes to work on their car, then they should. And I mean, you need to come up with, like, whatever the thing is and run with it. And if it's not enough time, then, then, okay, next, because I feel like it's going to go back to 2004 where they're going to change the format. Like Jeff Gordon, they changed the way the point system works. And he went from first to, like, fifth. And I'm surprised he wasn't more vocal about it. But he's like, you got to race by the points. I'm like, well, you would have been in first going by the old point system. But, I mean, if they're going to change it, they need to change it at the end of the season. Instead of, like, okay, yep, next week they're changing how the points are handled. No, but the Polish King, my man, Brad Keselowski, he came in first. Kyle Larson was second. Chase Elliott, he was dying to get a win. He ended up in fifth. Danica Patrick was in 17th, but I'm telling you, man, Dale Earnhardt Jr. was 30th. He can't catch a break for nothing. I don't know. But I guess so many people see how successful his dad was and expect him to be that way. I just wonder what would have happened if his dad hadn't died. Because he seemed to be way better, in my opinion, back when his dad was still around. And I think him not being there has a lot to do with it. So hopefully, I don't know, just for his sake, I hope he can turn it around. And, you know, I'm still kind of up in the air on what my thoughts are with the good old, you know, they have the wonderful segments. I'm warming up to it, but I'm still not all that. So we'll have to see. In English Premier League news, what a weekend. Holy crap. And I do mean that, folks. We could be in fourth place. All we had to do was get 3 points. And all we had to do was beat Bournemouth. They had never scored against us. Oh, Last year there was an own goal, but we drew 1-1 in the very beginning. Probably the first 20 minutes of the game, we had like 6 shots on goal, 7 shots on goal, 8 shots. And they couldn't get anything to go by. We are in 6th place with 49 points, 1 point behind Arsenal with 50. Liverpool is in 2nd with 52. Man City's in 3rd with 55. 56th is Tottenham. And Chelsea's in 1st with 66. I mean, we had an opportunity to, at worst, be in 5th place, if not 4th. And they couldn't do it. It's like, okay, you just won the League Cup, and now you just, like, tank. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know. It's like one moment they're incredible, and then the next moment they tank, and I don't know what to think of the team right now. I mean, it seems like they had the opportunity, and they just, it's like they had many shots on goal, they just can't seem to connect. I don't know. I mean, they're better. I mean, they're not. I mean, they're doing good, but just like stuff like that just frustrates you, and it has had to have frustrated Jose Mourinho. He at the press conference is kind of like, I mean, what can you do? You know, you have like 5 million shots on goal and you get one. I mean, and that's what must be so frustrating if you get like 30 shots on goal and you get one, and then there's games where you have like 4 shots on goal and you get 3. I don't know. 2 seconds left in the program, folks, and I want to thank you all for tuning in no matter where you are. It's a pleasure having you for this 1 hour. About ready to get out of here and go to bed. One of those, as I finish up, today was one of those days where I just wanted to go back to bed. I couldn't, like, I had to, okay, I got to put my right foot in front of my left foot, and it's one of those days. It's glad to be over. I want to thank you so much for listening, and like I said, you know, dare to think for yourselves. Don't just, you know, if you support Trump, support him because you wholeheartedly believe in him. If you think that this left movement is so great, you know, back it up. Check, you know, do facts checking. Find out, okay, what is, it's not a ban. He's just a temporary block of people until they can figure out how to ensure that only decent people get into this country. Think for yourself, folks. Think for yourself. Don't just blindly follow the crowd. And with a firm reliance, we should be pledging each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until this Thursday, good night, and God bless. Goodbye.